You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 394, and it's been a few weeks. It's been a good vacation. Randall and I were both up in Minnesota fishing and relaxing, but it's good to be back, too.
Yeah, it is. It was a good vacation, but I guess it was time to come back to reality. We didn't do a podcast room. You had promised to do one
while
we were up there.
We would have done it, but I forgot to take along some equipment.
So, there, yeah.
But I'm kind of glad that I forgot, because it was just, it was nice to be able to relax and just forget about things for a while.
Service was a little bit sketchy, too, and the internet, well, it was, actually, after you left, you were only there the first week, the second week after you left, it was down, because somebody stole the, what's the little box you have right inside your house?
The modem or the
router?
Yeah,
somebody stole the modem.
Stole the modem?
They have a little building up on top of the hill.
Seems like a weird thing to steal.
I know. But that was what they told us.
This is the third year that our family's been going up there fishing. And the first year, there was also an internet outage, but that was because the road crew, they were doing construction or fixing the road or adding, they were working on the road, and they cut the phone line that was bringing in the internet. Anyway, time to get back and talk some Notre Dame football. Let's start with over the weekend, Bob Elliott, former Notre Dame assistant, passed away, and he had been battling with health issues for a while. An article that I read from Chicago Tribune said in 98 or 99, he was diagnosed with some rare kind of blood cancer. And I think we probably remember, a couple years ago, he took off a little bit from Notre Dame to take care of some health issues that he was having. And he was hired by Nebraska this past winter, and then he stepped down from that soon after, or I guess later this summer.
Well, he was hired by Nebraska in February and then took leave of absence in June. So he wasn't there for too long. But the guy that actually placed him there was Notre Dame tight end, former tight end coach Scott Booker. So, but the biggest thing I noticed with Bob Elliott, I mean, it seems like every Notre Dame player and coach and even Nebraska, I mean, people retweeting stuff from the Nebraska guys. I'm sure if you follow all their players, they'd have things to say about it. Everybody had something good to say about it. I mean, he made a big impression on a lot of these guys' lives. I mean,
in fact, I want to read a couple of them.
Okay,
I had saved
ahead.
Here. The one is from Josh Anderson, the walk-on running back. He said, "For the past 40-plus years, this man has truly been changing the lives of college football players. Spending 5 years listening to your wisdom has been crucial in my development towards becoming the best person I can be. At the lowest moments throughout my playing career, this man was always there with genuine empathy and faith. A few words with him after a very tough day at practice always left me feeling like my struggle had a much greater purpose. Thank you, Coach Bob Elliott. You changed my life."
And that's kind of, he was obviously the guy that the players went to after a tough practice, because some of the other guys did the same thing, had their tweets or screenshots of what they wrote were the same thing. Avery Sebastian had one, wrote something about being in his crying and being in his office and crying, and you were the only one that believed in me when it seemed like nobody else would. And so he was obviously the guy that players went to.
And these aren't all star players either. I mean,
yeah.
Josh Anderson, walk on. Kavari Russell said this: "At Notre Dame, I doubted I could switch from running back to corner and excel at the level I did as a true freshman. But you told me I can be the best. During my separation from Notre Dame in 2015, you checked on me and my well-being daily. And more than most did, you showed me how to study college opponents, study my position, and study the game from a different perspective." I don't want to say a few different things, but yeah, it's inspirational. It should be inspirational to everyone to try to leave that kind of legacy. And you don't need to be a football coach to do that. You can leave a positive impact on the people, whether you're a brother or a a parent, or it doesn't matter who you are.
Well, Matthias Farley summed up pretty good. He said, to the man whose heart was always far too big for his body, thank you. So.
All right, let's move on then. Randall, you've been sending out on social media how many days it is till Notre Dame football starts, or till the season starts anyway. Where are we at on this Monday, July 10th?
There are 54 days until kickoff.
And how many Saturdays
would that be? That's only 7 more Saturdays without football.
That's what blows my mind away.
So that's, if you have a bye week in the first half of the season, that's half a season. So it seems unreal.
And we've got fall camp coming up a whole lot sooner than that.
Yeah, I believe fall camp starts on August 1st. I think that's when they're planning to be down at Culver Academy.
We've got some recruiting topics to get to. Some Notre Dame players made some top 100 lists that we want to talk about, and a few other things as well. But let's just start with the recruiting, Randall. I know there a lot has been happening, even though we haven't really been that. We haven't really been getting information out there the last few weeks.
While a lot of people were out covering the opening out in Oregon, we were up in Minnesota covering the lake trying to catch some fish. So, but there's a lot of info out there on the opening. And there's more Notre Dame commits and potential recruit guys Notre Dame are going after than there are other years. So this was a very big week for Notre Dame, covering Notre Dame recruiting. And so there was quite a few media members out there covering this, more than normal. There were 5 guys from the current Notre Dame commit list. Jamian Franklin, Jason Adamalola, Derek Allen, Ovi Ogofu, and George Takis were the 5 guys that are committed to Notre Dame. And they did some good things. Everybody was impressed with Jamian Franklin and Jason Adamalola. I mean, they seemed to up their stock. And then Derek Allen, I don't know if you watch any of the replays from there, but he had a very impressive one. He had a one-handed interception, and I think it saved. It was in a 7-on-7 game, and it ended up keeping them from scoring a touchdown, and they finished with a 0-0 tie. So, but he just like turned around, reached out, and caught it with one hand. So, pretty impressive. And I think he's going to be a big time player at Notre Dame. And there was quite a few other guys that Notre Dame is still recruiting, and guys that have interest in Notre Dame. I'm not going to go through the whole list of that, but yeah, it was. Yeah, a big week for Notre Dame out there. There were quite a few guys that came out that are narrowing their list of top schools that they're interested in. And I'll just quick go over some of those. The main one, one of the first ones, Tommy Tremble, is a tight end. We've talked about him before. He is down to 6, which is Notre Dame, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, UCLA, and Fresno State. And he is actually planning to commit possibly this week or the next week. So very soon he's going to commit, and it's all signs are pointing towards Notre Dame. I mean, that's kind of the feel everybody has right now.
Is that 24/7? Yeah. Is there a crystal ball?
Yeah, pretty much everybody is saying that's where he's going to end up. And he's more of a player like Alzae Mack. I mean, he's more of an outside guy. Versus George Takis, who is already committed to Notre Dame. It's kind of surprising that they're taking 2 tight ends this cycle again, but obviously with Chip Long's offense and the history that Notre Dame has with tight ends, guys are excited about playing at Notre Dame. So he'll very likely be the next recruit to commit to Notre Dame. And then Notre Dame made the final 3 for defensive end Joseph Usawi. Here's a guy Notre Dame needs. I don't really think they're going to get him because he's down to Texas A&M, and Notre Dame. But he's that rush end that Notre Dame needs. But I don't know where to. I don't know when he's going to make a decision, and it's not necessarily pointing towards Notre Dame at this point. Another guy everybody keeps talking about is Jason Awe. He was at Irish Invasion, and wowed a lot of people. He's down to Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Penn State. And he's still going to visit all three of these schools by the end of the month. And the good news is that Notre Dame is the last school he's going to visit. So Notre Dame's going to get that last official visit, and I think it's like the 24th or somewhere in the area, the end of July. And he said he's going to decide soon after that. I think he wants to get it out of the way before his senior season in high school starts. And so right now it's, I don't know, I think Ohio State, people are saying Ohio State's at the top of the list right now. But we know what happens when you get a guy onto campus, and especially at the end, it's the last school he visits.
At what position does he play?
He's a strong side defensive end. So it seems Notre Dame has much better, if it's a strong side defensive end, they're usually in play a lot more than the Russian guys. I'm not sure why, but it seems like they can get those bigger defensive ends. And, you know, Solon had an article on that he wrote, and it's, I think the link was in the forums, but, you know, Notre Dame might have to take one of the current recruits or guys that are committed to Notre Dame and kind of turn them into that Russian, you know, maybe like a bigger linebacker, because it doesn't seem like they can get that true rush end that they need. And then DJ Johnson, the cornerback from Indiana here, he's down to Notre Dame and Iowa, which isn't really a surprise. Everybody kind of expected that. And then Jeremy Ruckert, another tight end, he's down to Notre Dame, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Ohio State. If Tommy Tremble commits to Notre Dame, I'm not sure what they're going to tell Jeremy Ruckert, but I doubt it's going to be Notre Dame. I mean, he's in his top four, but I don't think he's at the top. Then you also have cornerback Telly Plummer. He's down to Penn State, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Louisville. So those are guys, the latest. They're narrowing it down to 6 or 3 versus 14 and what was that one that we mentioned?
Wasn't it close to 20?
It was 20-something.
Maybe even, yeah, it was insane.
It was ridiculous. So, anyways, that's what's happened with those guys. And guys are getting ready for their senior season of football. And so I think they're trying to get some of this recruiting stuff figured out or have a rough idea where they want to go before the season starts so they can focus on their football season. There was an interesting tweet by Brian Polian. It was the other day. It was almost 2 weeks ago already. But he tweeted out, "Incredibly blessed and humbled to announce my top four Notre Dame football traditions. No particular order. Please respect my decisions. No interviews." Anyways, the four are the 24-karat gold helmets, green jerseys, the play like a champion today tradition, the sign, and then touchdown Jesus. And he even had a picture to go with it, his top four right there. So he's obviously very much involved in the recruiting part of the program. So, but then there was a lot of offers that went out over the last 2 weeks. There was 12 offers for 2019 guys, and there was even two for 2020. There were two more quarterback offers for 2019, Cade McNamara and Dylan Morris. And then they also sent out another 2020 quarterback offer, Drew Payne. So it's a little interesting that they're sending out more offers for 2019, which kind of tells me that they're not too comfortable with where they're at with a certain guy for the 2019 class. You know, the last couple, it's been nice to have the quarterback commit early, and then they can focus on the other. You know, they've had Avery Davis and then Phil Dracovic, and now they're waiting on that 2019. It seems they keep broadening the net to kind of, they hand out more offers, so which tells me that they don't feel comfortable with the number one guy they're going after. But if you look at the roster, I mean, it's probably a little bit intimidating. You know, Notre Dame has quite the group of quarterbacks. And so I could see why 2019 guys maybe aren't as interested right now, but that could all change.
And you would even think it's kind of catch 22, because in some instances, as a quarterback, you probably do want to commit early so you can influence the other guys that are coming with you.
Yeah.
But if you commit too far out, you don't really know what's going to happen in 3 years from now at Notre Dame, or whether with the coaches or the players that are in front of you.
Yeah. Well, the downside, Notre Dame still doesn't have a commit in 2019 class, which is the last couple of years they've had a commitment at this point in time. At this point in the summer, they've had at least one commitment in the next year's class, but they don't at this point. So they need a guy to commit and kind of be the guy that can lead the class and try to recruit other players, and they still don't have that. So maybe once they can get a guy committed, then he can help recruit more players to Notre Dame. There were two linebacker offers, both from Hawaii. They have Hawaiian name. Henry To'odo'o. I should tell you, his last name is right. To'o, and then the, or not the hyphen, what do you call the apostrophe thing? Anyways, To'o. So, however you want to say that name. Manoa Tufono is the other linebacker. Raymond Woody the third is listed as an athlete. Keir Elam is a cornerback. Chris Steele is another cornerback, and he's currently committed to UCLA. John Olmsted is an offensive lineman. Chez Malusi is a running back. Brandon Smith, defensive end. Rodas Johnson, defensive tackle. Mozzie Smith, defensive tackle. And then there's one more 2020 offer, and that was a running back, Miles Friday. So those are the offers that went out. And next couple weeks, there's quite a few guys visiting Notre Dame. So you'll start having – you'll have more guys committing the next couple weeks, like we said, before the season starts, to all schools, not just Notre Dame. And then there'll probably be another lull till the end of the season. So we'll see what happens in the next couple weeks.
All right. Sports Illustrated released their top 100 list of college players this season, and Notre Dame cracked a couple in the top 100. Who are they, Randall?
There's three of them. They slowly released the names. I think it was maybe 10 names at a time. They started at 100. EQ was the first one. He's the 85 overall player. And then at 47, we had Mike McClinchy, and at 27 was Quentin Nelson. So I was a little surprised that McClinchy was that far behind Nelson, but I didn't look at the whole list.
Yeah. I'm surprised that McClinchy isn't in front of Nelson. But
maybe 6 months ago I would have been, but at this point, just the way McClinchy played last year, I mean, he made a lot of mistakes. Nelson didn't. You never heard anything from Nelson. Nelson is a very solid player. Did what he's supposed to, and that's why I think he's jumped ahead of McClinchy.
Probably.
In rankings like that. But that could all change again. If McClinchy, all he has to do is clean up some of those minor mistakes, and he has a left tackle versus a guard, so they're usually more coveted. A top left tackle is
it's
a
true.
Bigger even, need than a guard.
Even if Nelson would be a better player, McClinchy might still get picked first in the draft.
Yeah.
Randall, you had brought up and said we should track, when the season starts, track all of Notre Dame's transfers, how they're doing at their current school. And there's definitely a large selection. And we found out another one, Max Redfield, he's going to be playing somewhere this fall. But we are going to do that this fall. We'll track how Max Redfield is doing, how Malik Zaire, and all the other guys that are playing football somewhere else, to see how they're doing.
So are you saying you're going to keep track of that?
I'll keep track of it, yeah.
Well, I'll definitely help, because I'm interested to see. There's a lot more players that have transferred or for some reason playing at another school. There's more than normal. Another, we were going over the list earlier, just naming guys at the top of our head, but one we didn't, Malik Zaire of Florida. I mean, that's another one. We all know what he's
That'll be an easy one to keep track of.
Yeah. But Max Redfield is the latest, and we all knew he wasn't going to be at Notre Dame, but he announced he's going to play at IU of Pennsylvania. So It looks weird to see Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
I know. So. At first, when I read it, I thought, oh, he's playing somewhere here in Indiana. But
yeah. But he mentioned that he was inspired to go there because he trained with Conrad Ruland, the tight end from Notre Dame that passed away just in the last couple months. He trained with him in 2016, and that's kind of what inspired him to go there. So it was interesting pick. I don't know. I'd like to know why he went to Division II school, why he dropped. But I don't know the detail. You know, did he do it because, I mean, a lot of schools probably weren't interested. Just didn't want to deal with the drama. Or was there something, you know, since he was kicked out of Notre Dame, was he not allowed to play at certain schools? I mean.
And he didn't play last year at all, so. Well, you would think that he would be allowed to, but I don't know the details either.
Well, I'm just saying because of the school, their own policies. Like, Notre Dame wouldn't bring in a guy that got kicked out of
Alabama.
Well, definitely not Alabama. If he got kicked out of Alabama, he's probably in jail. But you know what I mean? Like, let's say he got kicked out of Iowa. Notre Dame wouldn't be taking that guy.
You don't think so?
No.
You're saying if he got kicked for...
Oh, I'm sure there's schools that probably would, but for something, especially for what he got kicked out of.
Yeah.
Possession of a firearm, marijuana, and he gets kicked out of a school.
Possession of an, unlicensed firearm.
Okay, yeah. But you know what I mean? So there's probably a lot more schools that... look how hard it was for Zaire to get in Florida. Just because the SEC has some weird rule about transfer.
And there was nothing that he didn't get kicked out
exactly,
or anything.
Exactly. So I don't know. I have no idea if it had anything to do with that. It's just interesting. I figured with his ego, he'd be trying to play at a Division I school.
Yeah, I was shocked too. I figured that definitely.
Because that was always one thing that about him. I mean, he knew he was a 5-star player, especially when he came to Notre Dame. But that's where he's planning to play. And so we'll.
And it might be a little tough to find stats for that game.
I'm sure they are online,
but
the thing is, there he'll probably be the star of the team.
He might play both ways. He might be on offense and on defense.
Maybe they promised to let him play quarterback. Anyways,
Randall, you'd mentioned that Notre Dame added someone, another SEC school to their future schedule. Who is that, and when is it?
Yes, for the first time ever, Notre Dame will be playing Arkansas in football. You'll have to wait until 2020. They'll play it September 12th at Notre Dame in 2020, which seemed like a long way, but it's actually just 3 years. Then the second game will be 2025, and that'll be at Arkansas. 5 years apart, you could have a couple of coaching changes in there. At Arkansas, I mean. But at that, isn't that the year that Brian Kelly said he'd be sipping?
I'm pretty sure. He'll be sipping Mai Tais. I forget
on
if
a
it
beach
was
somewhere.
Somewhere.
So maybe that's a game Brian Kelly will be watching on a beach. But it is exciting. I like it because my brother-in-law lives in Arkansas and is a huge Arkansas fan. And so maybe we'll have to get some tickets for that game. And just an interesting note, in 2025, Notre Dame already has Texas A&M scheduled for that year.
So two SEC schools in one
year. Yes. So Notre Dame will continue its tradition of tough schedules. But a lot can change between now and then. So how many national championships will Notre Dame have by then?
I'm going to say just one. Something we didn't cover on two weeks ago was Daniel Cage. He went in on the 15th, June 15th, for knee surgery, and it's not nearly as severe as what it sounded like. And he's expected to, Brian Kelly said, a full recovery, 100% when fall camp starts. That sounds hard for me to believe, but just from reading an article on ND Insider, it doesn't sound like the surgery was really that devastating as what it sometimes is.
In Brian Kelly's words, he said he was continuously developing an infusion swelling. So we went in there and snipped the cartilage. It was a pretty good bucket tear, so they had to suture that. So
So what does that mean, Randall? Can you put that? Can you put that in layman's terms?
From when I was in medical school, no. Well, it's his meniscus, and so he basically had a tear in his meniscus, and they fixed that. So they say he's going to be 100% by August 1st, when training camp starts. But it's he's racking up quite the list of injuries, and what was it last year before fall camp?
But okay, as a freshman in 2015, he played, was it 10? No, 11. He played in 11 of Notre Dame's 13 games in 2015. That would include the bowl, 13 bowl game. But then last year, he only played
8 games.
In 8 of the games.
And that was because of concussions. And that's what we thought. I mean, he was still having issues with that. I mean, he didn't play the end of the season because of concussion issues. Well, before the season started, Brian Kelly, remember, they said he had sleep apnea, and since they had that figured out, and he had probably has that breathing machine, he's had a lot more energy, and it helped him out quite a bit. So he had that, then he had the concussion issues, and then during the winter, during the off season, after the season ended, he had hernia surgery. So then he was out of shape for spring camp, and now since then he's had knee surgery. So Notre Dame does need him, but man, it.
Well, there's only two possible scenarios. Either he's going to be injury prone this upcoming season and play in half or fewer of the games, or he won't, and he'll play in more than half the games.
Yeah. Maybe they got everything fixed before the season started. I don't have a lot of confidence that he'll make it through the season at 100%.
Even if we would get three quarters of the season where he can play in, you know, 10 or even eight or nine of the games, you know, that would be a tremendous help because he's definitely needed.
Well, if he can at least come off the bench and play, I don't know, 20, 30 snaps. I mean,
maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe his load was too heavy, and
he'll be in better shape with the new strength and conditioning program.
That's true.
Less injuries now. So all right. The only other thing, Kevin Stepherson, we didn't mention that.
No.
That was, 2 weeks ago already? But he was, he had 1 year probation is what his sentencing was. He pleaded guilty, and so the judge put him on 1 year probation. And that includes, he has to stay out of trouble for a year. So basically, he has to submit urine samples, as well as avoiding alcohol consumption and illicit drug use. He will also be required to participate in the court's drug and alcohol program. And then if he can stay out of trouble for a year during this year of probation, all the charges will be dropped.
And it shouldn't affect, or it doesn't affect his eligibility this fall for football.
No. But it's, you know, we still have that question on what's going on with him during spring, but we'll have to wait and find out because we still don't have the answers. So maybe that was probation, his probation with Brian Kelly being put on the third team.
Okay, that's all I've got, Randall. Anything more from you?
I don't think so.
Thank you guys for listening. Check back next week for another episode. And be excited because football is basically around the corner.
August 1st is the start of training camp, and it's, what is today, July 9th?
10th.
10th. Wow. So we got three more Mondays before the start of.
I know. I can't believe it. All right. Until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.